Hi, moms. I'm Becca Carnahan.
And I'm Marie Tremblay.
We're two mom friends and career development professionals here to help you answer that big question. What do I want to be when I grow up?
Just because we're moms now doesn't mean we're all the way grown up yet.
I know I'm not.
Me neither. And we want to give you permission to grow, change, and evolve as a parent and professional.
By sharing real stories from real moms, we're going to help you navigate the motherhood identity shift, career changes, work-life balance questions, and more.
Are you ready to keep growing up with us?
Yes? Then let's do this. We are so excited to have another fabulous guest today on When Mommy Grows Up. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
So let me introduce you all to Lisa. So Lisa Marciano is an award-winning author, podcaster, and certified Jungian analyst, which we'll talk much more about that coming up here. Her highly acclaimed books draw upon the healing wisdom of fairy tales to help women connect more deeply with themselves. So cool. Lisa hosts the popular psychology podcast, This Jungian Life, with over 10 million downloads. I think it's 12 million actually now, and a loyal following that includes artists, journalists, and celebrities. This Jungian Life is a top podcast in the U.S. in the health and fitness category. Lisa has her BA from Brown. She has a Master's of International Affairs from Columbia and a Master of Social Work from NYU. Lisa's done a lot of studying. She has lots to share with us. And in addition to her books, Lisa's writing has appeared in numerous publications, including the Journal of Analytical Psychology. She's a sought-after speaking and workshop facilitator, and she has lectured across the U.S. and across the world. So how lucky are we that we get to have Lisa hanging out with us here today on When Mommy Grows Up. So Lisa, thank you for being here. And we're going to dive right in because I would love to hear more of your story and what inspired you to write your most recent book, The Vital Spark.
You know, when my kids were little, my daughter was two and my son was a newborn and I was in analytic training. So I was already a therapist, but I was in the training process to become a Jungian analyst, which is very long and arduous. It takes, you know, somewhere between 5 and 10 years for most people. It took me about 8. And so I was in the middle of that when my son was born and I had to take a year off. And, you know, it was so hard that first year having a toddler and a newborn boy. And I had this thought at one point. I was like, wow, everything about motherhood is so hard. And then this thought popped into my head and I thought, yeah, and I'm growing so much as a result. So I got really interested in that. This is kind of related to one of Jung's big ideas, individuation, which basically says that we continue to grow and develop psycho-spiritually throughout the lifespan. And I was like, well, gosh, that's really interesting. Like, how does motherhood play into that role? So I started thinking about it. That would have been 2004. And I kept on thinking about it and I did some writing about it. And then when I finished analytic training in 2011, I was like, you know, that needs to be a book. So my first book, Motherhood, Facing and Finding Yourself, came out in 2021. And it looks at how motherhood can be a catalyst for personal growth. And then just as that was getting released into the world, these other ideas were bubbling up, which in some sense are kind of a companion to my first book. So the ideas in The Vital Spark, Reclaim Your Outlaw Energies and Find Your Feminine Fire, my newest book, kind of pick up where that one left off. And I think that I just, they just pressed forward. You know, maybe every book is actually a confession. So I think it's a really personal book and it kind of catalogs some of my struggle to just step into my authority a little bit, which obviously is part of what is required of us when we mother too. So that's why I say in a way they're kind of companion books.
Yes. I can totally see that. And I think that really speaks to our audience and the message that we're trying to put out there about motherhood. It doesn't have to be separate from who we are as people, our careers. It's all part of this growing up process.
Yes.
And it's a really an amazing, beautiful, really hard journey, but it can contribute so much to our success.
A catalyst. I like how you phrase it. Motherhood being a catalyst for growth. Yeah, that's powerful.
Yeah, I mean, in one sense, you know, I'm a kind of I'm a nice person, right? I prefer harmony. I don't like I'm conflict avoidant. I mean, a lot of therapists are, right? We want to help people, but that was one of the things that happened to me when I was a mother. Is like even when my kids were pretty little, I was like, oh, I have to be the heavy. I have to be the one in charge. And it was like even claiming authority with a 2-year-old was like, oh, okay, this feels a little new. And of course that just continues to evolve as your kids grow up. And it's interesting because I have a chapter on authority in my motherhood book. And then it really is the whole theme of the Vital Spark. And there's a separate chapter on it because for me, in some sense, I think for women, not all women, but many women have trouble really claiming their authority. And it is important in all aspects of our life. It's important in our relationships. It's important in work. It's important in our sense of self-actualization. And it definitely can get some practice, that muscle, in motherhood. And of course, it's really important to have some authority as a mother.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You talk a lot about busy mothers in your book. We often disconnect from our sense of self, especially when we adjust, or should I say, when we try to adjust to the big motherhood identity shift, which we talk a lot about on this podcast here, and when taking care, especially of young children. Yeah. What signs should we look for to first identify that disconnect? And what are the first steps that we can take to start feeling empowered and energized?
The big idea in my new book, The Vital Spark, is that there are some qualities like nurture, kindness, warmth, support, attunement that help us get and stay connected to other people. So they help us in relationships with friends, with family, with our partners, with our children, obviously. And they're really important and they're wonderful qualities and they're great, great qualities to own and to cultivate. And most women don't have too much trouble owning and cultivating those qualities. Then there are other qualities like disagreeableness, fierceness, desire, authority, anger, ruthlessness, shrewdness, trickiness, that help us get and stay connected to ourselves. And those are really important for claiming agency and for self-actualization. So, you know, I think that women's lives are often predicated largely around caregiving, at least part of the time. Like even if we're career women, right, we're probably doing a lot of caregiving, you know, maybe of a spouse, you know, emotionally, and especially of our children. And so it's always about finding a balance between when do I need to set aside my own needs and care for someone else? And when is it okay to kind of claim something? Or when not only is it okay, but it might be really important for various reasons. So you said, how do we know when we're disconnecting? You know, I think a feeling of flatness, resentment, like loss of energy, a sort of loss of vitality, In the world of Jungian psychology, we talk about eros, which we don't mean a kind of sexual energy, but a sort of like juiciness to life, you know, where you're basically sort of happy to go meet your day and your day has an aliveness to it. There's a little sparkle, at least somewhere in there. It doesn't all feel like drudgery. I think if it's starting to feel flat, lifeless, you know, shades of gray, you know, I mean, that tracks with depression, but I often think that we get depressed because we lose connection with ourselves. And you said, what's the first step for amending that? I think it's noticing. I think noticing is the first step.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think these are really important signs and ways for us to be looking at this. And I like the way that you described this, the juiciness. I think that's such a good, I can feel our listeners listening to this being like, ooh, do I have juiciness right
yeah,
now?
Yeah.
And if I don't, I feel like that's something you can just like grab onto being like, yeah, I want that. I want to feel that juiciness again. And how can I then work towards it? And some of that's around, I would imagine, what we experience in our work, it's around discovering new passions or making a change in some way in your life. And there's something else that you mentioned, Lisa, around these other emotions, around like anger or disagreement. And I would think those feelings link up with this idea of like the difficult, I'm putting it in air quotes for everyone listening, like this difficult woman.
I actually love that phrase, difficult woman. Yeah.
Yeah.
The things that make us a difficult woman, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But those things are so important. So how do we utilize those emotions, those feelings that actually help us to move forward and kind of fight back against this like difficult woman, quote unquote? It's actually a really important part of who we are.
You know, like, let's say a woman who is, you know, working and, but maybe is more of the primary caregiver than her husband, who, you know, has his own career. And so, you know, a lot of the caregiving stuff falls on her. And let's say that his job is pretty stressful and demanding. And so she finds herself not only maybe taking care of people at work, obviously taking care of the kids, but let's say that the husband comes home a lot and is kind of, he's a little depressed, he's stressed out. And so she finds herself, like many women do, when the husband comes home and is a little depressed and stressed out, part of her is angry. It's like, have you seen my day? but another part is like, oh, but to be a good wife, sets her own needs aside. She says, well, tell me about your day. You know, but that kind of becomes a pattern. So for many women, and I mean, this is very much true for me, I can fall into, and I think so many of us can, fall into a pattern where we're just almost without thinking about it, accommodating ourselves to the needs of the people around us. And sometimes that's great, but it's not always great. You know, if you find yourself walking on eggshells because your teenage kid is, you know, you're worried that she's going to lose it, like that's actually not good for your teenage daughter and it's not good for you. And if you find yourself kind of always trying to smooth someone else's ruffled feathers just to kind of keep the peace and you're that person, you know, you're going to start feeling like, I said before, depleted, but also there's that anger in there. And the thing is, if you could let, you know, a lot of times when we feel like, oh, I shouldn't feel angry. You know, he had a hard day. She's really stressed. But it's like, but wait a second, that anger has wisdom in it.
Yeah.
And if you can, I mean, I'm not saying you should like explode. You could let yourself feel the anger. You could explode up instead of exploding out. You could have your own little temper tantrum. What's the anger trying to tell you? What's the wisdom in the anger? And anger is there when our boundaries are violated. And so if you're constantly, you know, tiptoeing around your life because you're trying to accommodate everyone else in it, yeah, anger is going to be your friend. Say, that is not a good place to set this boundary.
I think we have to sit with this for a few minutes just to realize that, as you said so beautifully, anger sends you a message because it's a powerful feeling. And you don't necessarily have to explode and be in the red zone, but anger has something to tell you that maybe you should try to go a little bit on that path and express yourself in some way. That's powerful.
Yeah, and really, at least like get curious about where the anger is coming from and then take it seriously. Like, you know, that's that disconnection. It's like, oh no, he had a hard day. It's like, well, wait a minute, but I'm really angry. Sometimes it's hard to know that we're angry because it feels, for some of us, it feels so transgressive to be angry. It's like, we shouldn't even be angry.
Yeah. I feel that.
And I mean, conflict is not only all bad. It can lead to good things in your personal life, in your career as well.
Absolutely. Like being able, like you said, about it's telling you that maybe your boundaries are being crossed and you need to speak up for yourself, because if you don't, then we can't get to some of this stuff like discovering new passions, being able to make a change. If you aren't able to speak up for yourself, set a boundary around what you need, then how do you actually get to that point where you get the juiciness, you get out of the flatness? You have to listen to that anger. I just think that's so powerful. And we don't talk about that enough, as that that wisdom in the anger.
Mm-hmm.
I think Marie and I are going to end up talking about this like at the sideline of a soccer yeah. game one day, because we're just going to be so into this idea of how powerful that is.
It's cliche, but I'm having sort of an aha moment. Because, you know, we talk about a lot about self-esteem and self-growth here, for sure. It's a central aspect of our clients' journey as they shift their career to get a better work-life balance. What would be your best advice for women to become more confident in their abilities to grow, let's say to grow their network or to mm-hmm. chase their goals,
mm-hmm.
personal and professional?
One of the chapters in the book is about shrewdness. So like letting yourself know what you know. And that can be letting yourself know, for example, when a situation really isn't right for you. But it can also be letting yourself know about your own strengths and weakness. I'm not talking about a sort of puffing yourself up and saying how great you are, but really taking a kind of cold-eyed look around and saying, yeah, how do I measure up? And if it's like, well, yeah, my work is really good, letting yourself know that, just letting yourself have it. And then kind of knowing what to do when we have successes. So I talk about this a bit in the book. I find that a lot of women will have something good happen to them. Let's say I'm working with someone and she's been feeling doubtful about her abilities, but she's decided to apply to graduate school, and gradually she gets into every graduate school she's applied to. And a lot of women will say something like this: yeah, well, you know, it's actually not a very competitive year for this degree. They'll sort of talk it down. They'll kind of minimize it. Like, mm-hmm. even if that's true, so what? You know, mm-hmm. why focus on that? Why not focus mm-hmm. on, a year ago, I didn't think I could do this, and now look, I'm getting into every program. So there's a little formula that I encourage women to have about good things. First of all, one powerful thing is to get yourself a little notebook or maybe a little space on your phone where you write down every like important compliment that you get. But your boss says, wow, you really knocked it out of the park with that presentation. Write it down. Write it down so that you can come back later and remember it, because our brains have a tendency to focus more and remember more on the negative than the positive. So I'm sort of encouraging you to engage in what might be called positive rumination. And then if you have a big win, let yourself revel in it. Let yourself celebrate it. And I don't mean posting on social media. I would actually not recommend that, because then you're trying to look for something from other people. But I'm talking about like, mm-hmm. make a little ritual. Maybe the ritual is you're just going to go out for dinner that night and you and your partner are going to, you know, have a toast. But maybe the ritual is I'm going to take 2 hours off next Tuesday and go for a walk in the woods. Whatever feels celebratory to you. And you can actually, while you're walking or toasting, just think, wow, look how far I've come. Look what I did. You know, I worked really hard. I did this thing. It's let yourself enjoy it. Let yourself linger on it and really take it in, because I find that many women just move very quickly away from successes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We see that so much. And it's something that we talk about a lot in the Career Clarity program and our coaching program, is this idea of celebrating your wins.
Yeah.
And really, it can be those huge wins, but it can be the everyday wins too. And mm-hmm. those, they add up. Mm-hmm. And when yeah. you're acknowledging what you've accomplished, it's huge. And my way of celebrating is actually like you mentioned, like taking the walk. I do like block off half a day on my calendar, block off a whole day on my calendar and say, that's my day. I earned it.
Yeah. And it's about intent, right? Like yes. the intent of this, whatever it is I'm celebrating.
I love that you have these tools and these strategies. Another one that we bump up against a lot, and we'd love your feedback on this, is women who tell us that they're struggling with procrastination
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. basically getting themselves to do the thing that they want to do. Because they're struggling with it. So what would you say are some of the tools that you might use to help women in that area?
Yeah. Well, procrastination is not a willpower problem. It's an affect regulation problem. So for most people, what happens is you have a task and you feel overwhelmed by it because it feels out of your reach. It feels undoable. It feels intimidating. And so what the way you deal with that is in other words, you think about doing it and what comes up in your body is kind of distress around it, like overwhelm, like, oh no, fear, dread, whatever. So you deal with that emotion by saying, well, I'm not going to do it today. I don't know. Let me rearrange the spice cabinet today instead. Mm-hmm. And you feel a kind of sense of relief when you do that. You're like, oh, there's a little like squirt of reward chemicals, dopamine, you know, because it's like, oh, okay, I don't feel that sense of dread anymore because I'm not thinking about doing this scary thing. I think that it can be helpful to know that because one of the other things that happens when we procrastinate is we start berating ourselves for procrastinating. Mm-hmm. And that gets us into like a shame spiral, which is very hard to get out of because then we feel worse about ourselves. So we're more likely to feel overwhelmed when we think about doing the thing. I think it can be helpful to really rest into what would help me feel supported to do this thing? So recognize that the thing that you're procrastinating about, you probably have some feeling about it. It might be dread, it might be fear, it might be ambivalence. So it might be that you think you want to do it, but actually it's not the right thing for you. Mm. So I'll give you an example. Early in my career, I had just started my private practice, and I found that I was very sort of like afraid. I was afraid. I hadn't had a private practice before. I wasn't sure I could do it. And I wasn't doing some of the things I needed to do to market it. I didn't have good energy about it. I was like, my energy was all locked up and like, ugh. Mm-hmm. And I made this point one night of going to my office that I was paying for, but never had anyone in it. Uh-huh. And I just sort of sat for a moment, closed my eyes in this office very intentionally, let myself drop in and kind of asked my body, what do I need? What am I missing? And what came up was I felt very alone. And I realized that it would feel so much better to just have some kind of colleagues. So I started a practice building group of other therapists, and we would meet, I can't remember now, this was so long ago, but we would meet once a month or every 2 weeks or something and just talk about what we were doing and that sort of thing. And you know, very shortly after that, my practice picked up. So I think you have to understand that when you're procrastinating, there's some feeling that's coming up that's making you want to avoid that task. And then you need to ask yourself, what is that feeling? And respect it, because the feeling might be, you know, I've said that I really wanted to start a business in X, Y, or Z, but actually, I don't want to do that because it's going to mean that I'm always away from my kids. And that's just not where I want to be right now. And then you just need to be honest with yourself.
What does continuing to grow up mean to you?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's one word that I'd like to offer, and that's playfulness. And it goes back to that juicy feeling. And when I say playfulness, I'm not necessarily talking about learning pickleball, but more just, what catches my fancy? What sort of fascinates me? What draws me to it? Whether it's, you know, learning some new skill or, it's really about sort of listening to where the energy is, I think, and that there's a kind of playfulness in meeting that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if you have an urge to pick up another language, you know, it's like could you sort of listen to it and take it seriously, but approach it with a sense of playfulness.
Yeah. I love this idea of listening to where the energy is and what are you naturally getting excited about? When you think
exactly.
about kids, they are very, very good at that, about
yes.
listening to where their energy yeah. comes from, what they're excited about.
They're
and
wired
what they're
for that.
Do. Yeah. yeah. But we don't have to lose that.
Mm-hmm.
Just
Absolutely.
Because we have responsibilities and other things, like, yes, of course, we have to make sure that all the things get done, the things get checked off the list. Hmm. But I think that's an inspiring part. Going back to what one of the first parts of this conversation about motherhood as a catalyst
mm-hmm.
for our own growth, if we can look through our kids' eyes and see how they are listening to their own energy and following that playfulness and bring some of that back into our own lives, it's the juiciness again.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
That's really, really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So Lisa, again, we could probably talk with you for another 3 hours about this.
Again, how lucky are we, Becca?
Yeah, I know. This is such a cool right? part of our job, that this is like part of what we do, that we get to talk to really interesting, insightful people. And I know that our listeners are going to want to hear more from you. Mm-hmm. So where can folks find you and follow along with your work?
Sure. Well, my podcast is This Jungian Life, and it's all on all the podcasting platforms. And our website is thisjungianlife.com. And my website is lisamarciano.com. And there's a couple things there you can check out. You can see my new book. I have an online fairy tale group for women where we explore a different fairy tale every month and consider its psychological application to our lives. And it's a lot of fun. You can learn about that on my website. It's called spinningstraw.com, but there's a link from my website. And then I also run retreats for women. There's one coming up at the end of April, and you can also learn about that on my website.
Amazing. We're going to have all these links. So okay, if you're listening out for your walk in the woods right now, as you're listening, make sure that you go back to the show notes here, the description of the show, because we're going to have all of these links back to Lisa's website so that you can check out. I want to check out the fairy tale piece of it. I think that's mm-hmm. so cool.
Really
I'm such
fun.
A story person. So this idea is really fascinating to me.
I'm interested in the retreat.
Yeah. All right. So we're all signing up for all of Lisa's things. So go check out all the links that we have. Lisa, thank you again for your time, for your wisdom. And we look forward to continuing to connect with you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to When Mommy Grows Up. If you're interested in learning more about how career coaching can help you along your journey of growing up as a mom and professional, head over to nextchaptercareers.us, where you'll also find the free Just Right job match quiz.
You can contact us at podcast@nextchaptercareers.us if you have questions, comments, or want to share your story for some coaching on the show. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review and make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast platform. We'll be here every week with coaching stories and two mom friends in your corner.